You made me strong.
You made me strong.
I learned the word forgiveness, and it took me along. Held on to your word and pray every day. And Lord, I'm waiting on you to lift me up. Oh my Lord, where I belong, put a crown on my head and give me my soul. Lord, lift me up. Oh my Lord, where I belong, and I'll be singing praises all day long. All these things are happening are the signs of the time.
Signs of the
but
time.
But I can hear you saying, be at peace, you are mine. Since I learned to love you, it's all I want to do.
And Lord, I'm waiting on you to lift me up. Oh my Lord, where
life now has a meaning, since I learned to praise your name.
Learn to praise your
standing
name.
Standing by your promises, and I'm gonna win this game. No one else has a hold on me the way you do.
And Lord, I'm waiting on you to lift me.
Amen. Want him to lift us up to sing his praises all the day long. Amen. Amen. Just have better weeks amongst us to sing for us. Amen.
God bless you. N63, the angels came with the will and the soul, my name. Now I know that I am a part of God's family. But like Jacob, I must fight with this angel day and night, till those seven rainbow lights in me I see. For this mighty angel that came to me is Almighty God, King Theophany, the pillar of fire that is now perfecting me. In that form he came to me all the way from eternity. Hallelujah. I am sure of victory. Those unclean spirits, just like frogs, coming out of the dragon's mouth, are deceiving all the kings on earth today. Religious men are being sealed out by the false doctrines coming out. They are saying the seven seals is not revealed. But this mighty angel that is here with me showed it was the threefold mystery. The pillar of fire that is now perfecting me. In that form he came to me, all the way from eternity. Hallelujah, I am sure of victory. Seven spirits of our God, seven voices thundering out, the seven virtues of our Lord into my soul. Supernatural devils are coming on, the greatest contest now is on, but by the Spirit's sword I'll overcome them all. For this mighty angel that came to me is Almighty God, King Theophany, the pillar of fire that is now anointing me. In that form he came to me, all the way from eternity. Hallelujah, I am sure of victory. This mighty angel, he's the one that my heart is centered on. He's the one that means the most in all my life. For he has promised in his word to speak and in my heart believe. Whatsoever I ask, he, this mighty angel, will perform. For this mighty angel that came to me is Almighty God, King Theophany, the pillar of fire that is now perfecting me. In that form he came to me, all the way from eternity. Hallelujah, I am sure of victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am sure of victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am sure of victory.
Amen. You know he's the one that is amongst us. Amen. We just want him to lead us. Amen. Could we all stand? Let him lead us to a place, to a field that we have never known. Amen. Let us sing, I just want a dove to lead God's eagle. Amen. How many desire a dove to lead us tonight? Amen. Want him to lead us home. Amen.
I just want the dove to lead God's eagles, to lead his eagle. I just want the dove. I just want the dove to lead. I know, amen. For I know he has come to lead God's eagles, and I know
He will guide me and keep me in His word. Let's just sing, I just want to follow. I just want to follow the way that You will lead me. Amen. I just want to follow tonight. Just want to follow the way that You will go. For I know You will lead me in the footprints that You have left. And I know tonight, and I know You will guide me. And keep me in this path. Amen. That's what we desire tonight. Amen. As we come into His house, let us come with an expectation. Let us come to receive from Him tonight. Let us come knowing that God knows each and every one of us here what we have need of. Amen. He wants to do something for us tonight. If we could believe it, if we could approach Him, the Bible says, he that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. If you have a special need, just believe Him. Hold it in your heart. Whatever it is tonight, say, Lord, I know You know what I have need of, even before I ask. But I'm trusting You. I'm looking unto You tonight, Lord, to meet this need in my life. Lord, make Yourself real to me. Whatever it is tonight, just trust Him and believe Him tonight. He is faithful. You're going to find that He is so desirous to give unto you what you have need of. Especially if it is something that will draw you closer to Him, that would cause you to believe in Him and trust in Him. Oh, gracious God, Father, we bow our hearts in Your presence tonight. Lord, we embrace this opportunity as we come and gather in tonight in Your divine presence. Lord, we are so thankful to see that something is moved upon these who have gathered here tonight to draw them into Your presence. No doubt they could have stayed at home, Lord. They could be looking at some television show or something. But they realize there is a greater reality than that, Father. Lord, they are desirous of something real. Something is moving in their heart, Lord. Something that only You can satisfy. And I pray as You have drawn these here tonight, Father, You will show Yourself alive in the midst of the people. You will do something special amongst them, dear God. You will meet their expectations tonight. You will not let them go away empty, Father. Lord, as they have come and gathered together here in Your presence, we remember You said, where two or three is gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst. Oh, gracious God, as You have come among us this evening, I pray, dear God, You would speak to every heart. I pray, dear God, You will take Your word and make it so real in the lives of Your children, dear God. You will reveal Your great plan of salvation. You will show the hour that we are living in, dear God. You will cause people to understand the day that we are living in and how to approach You and serve You in this day. Take the word, dear God, and may You speak it in such a way that it will produce a faith in the hearts of Your children. You said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? Oh God, we submit ourselves unto You in the fear of God tonight.
coming in sincerity, coming in humility, Lord. Coming, dear God, asking you tonight that according to your promise, Lord, that you will just move in our midst, dear God, and every need that your children is holding in their hearts before you, believing that you will meet those needs, I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister, Lord, to each and every one, individually and collectively, Lord, from the greatest to the least, that they will know you care for them, Lord. That, dear God, that is not just a saying. That is not just something, Lord, we are trying to say to pacify the people, but that is a reality, dear God. Oh, Father, they will learn to trust in you and to take you at your word. Get glory to thy great name in this service. Show yourself alive. Take the word, dear God, and unveil your great mighty self, that your people will see you, Lord, and know that there is none like you, Father. Grant it, we pray tonight. We thank you, Lord, in advance all that we ask, believing we have received it already. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these blessings. Amen and amen. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Ruth. And I want to encourage you, when you come out in the house of God, walk with your Bible. Look in the bookshelf somewhere at home and see if you find one. If you don't know where it is, take a search when you go home, and I'm sure you're going to find a Bible somewhere. And if you don't have one, then you will try to have some by God's grace, that will be able to help you when you come in the house of God. His word is the word of eternal life. We sure would like to know more about it, because to know him, we have to know his word. We're not trying to talk about some church and some little religion. We're talking about the word of God coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. We're going to read in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And Ruth is right after Judges. You have after Joshua is Judges, and Judges after Judges is Ruth, and after Ruth is 1 Samuel. So it's right between Judges and 1 Samuel. And that's about your 8th book of the Bible. Amen. This is a beautiful little story, and we'd like to look at it, at least part of it tonight. Maybe we would like to take the whole book over the next couple services. God help us, because it's trying to follow up what we have been speaking the last two services. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So right away we see what time the Holy Spirit is placed in this little story here. It was in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took themselves wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was bereft, or left, of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee and unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you refrain from marrying? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she ceased speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Notice that she said, I went out full. The Lord didn't carry her out. She went out. But she said, the Lord brought me back. Amen. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have opened this Bible and opened the pages of this book of Ruth, dear God, as we have read this portion of the word, how is going to take the quickening power to quicken the minds of the people and lift them up into the realm where the great divine secrets of redemption that is sealed in this word can be made plain and be opened up to them. They might understand the day and the hour that they are living in, and that the supernatural instructions contained in these verses which we have read can be ministered to us with such clarity and such emphasis from the Holy Spirit that we might receive strength and nourishment in order that we might live better lives and be prepared for this great hour. Lord, may you help us tonight. Take everyone under your divine control, I pray. And bring us, Lord, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, where you can teach us your word. Grant it, we pray, and may it bring faith to our hearts, faith that would please you and cause us to recognize our position. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May have your seat. It's a very beautiful portion of scripture we have read here. And you know, to Bible readers who is acquainted with the book of Ruth, it's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. And as we have just concluded reading that first chapter, in my mind, I'm thinking there is so much inside of there that we'd like to look at and maybe speak tonight that have such relevance to us in the hour that we are living in. But I'm trusting tonight that God will take your mind and bring it in the channel of the Holy Spirit, that we can really be caught up to see the things as lain in the Bible. There's some things we'd like to understand about the Bible as we have opened to this book of Ruth, and I trust that God would really give it to us tonight. And before I go any further, I just want to greet you all tonight and trust you feel welcome. And you, I know many of you have been attracted to the meeting and you've been coming out, and I trust the Holy Spirit really is doing something for you that is going to cause the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart. And you, if you're not a Christian, you'll desire to be a real Christian. Amen. Not just a church member, not just going to some little church and trying to become religious or something. God is not in religiousness. Amen. God is dealing with a spiritual life. There's a great difference being religious and being spiritual. The devil is religious. But to be spiritual, to be born of the Spirit of God, and to recognize the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, to recognize the word for your age coming to pass in your life, is something different. When Jesus came, all the Jews was religious. Most religious people on the face of the earth. Sadducees, Pharisees, they kept the religion to the letter, but they couldn't recognize the word coming to pass in their day. They even called it the devil and they rejected it. But yet that was, he was the fulfillment of the word. And Jesus wasn't just going to church and trying to keep up the Jewish tradition, but Jesus recognized he was fulfilling the word that was spoken for that hour. And when John was there, John stood up and John even recognized he was fulfilling the scriptures. That when they came and asked him, "What sayest thou of thyself? Art thou that prophet? Art thou the Messiah? Who art thou?" He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." He went back in the prophecy and he identified himself in the scriptures because he understood that he was the fulfillment of the word. Amen. Leave him alone. Let him sleep. Amen. By God's grace. Amen. So as we sit here tonight and we look at this book of Ruth, I'm taking this because since I've been here, I've been speaking some messages, and I know I'm speaking to more than one class of people. When I came down here, I started to try to speak to the little church, and since then we have people coming in and different ones coming back, and you know, you find in that you have different varieties of people with different backgrounds and experiences now, and now you're trying to minister to everyone at every level. But I'm still trying to lay my foundation, because in coming here, we are trying not to patch up the old work. That old work don't exist no more. The geography still remains. We have the building here and it's in the same location. But as far as the word, you see, I have to preach the word as I see it from the Bible and from the message of the hour, and that's what we're trying to lay by God's grace. And then that means that as we look at these things, I want you to understand what has been spoken, because what has been spoken with a certain intent. And, you know, the first message I spoke when I came here was, "The Master is come and call it for thee." And in there we have been looking to the word and trying to bring to you what is the program of God for this hour. See, I'm not trying to congregate people. If I'm trying to congregate people here, I'm going to try to get everybody out in the village to come, and I'm going to try everybody then to become a member here and so on. But we're not interested in that. What we are interested in is, "My sheep hear my voice." Those that are predestinated, amen. Because the rest will not be able to follow in any way. They're going to come for a little church, like Jesus said, some come for bread and fish, some come for this, some come for the other. But when it comes to the word, Like Peter, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The word was attracting him. There was a reality about the word. He wanted to know the will of God for his life in the age he was living in. And that's the place we want to get to by God's grace. And when I started here, I preached the masses, come and call for thee. And we was looking at the coming of the Lord and the things that has happened in this day and how it is unfolding. Because I wanted to bring to you what the program of God for this hour is from the Bible and the message as we have received. Because if we don't know what God's program is, we wouldn't know what we're looking for. We wouldn't know what is promised. We wouldn't know what age we are living in. We wouldn't know the scriptures that is to be fulfilled. We wouldn't know the things that must come to pass in our lives to identify us as believers. And then after I came and preached a message, bringing forth fruit unto perfection and showing that they sow on the seed and what is the word that was to be planted for this age. What is the promises for this age that has been planted and what we are looking for to come forth out of our lives. And then I preach, thou must prophesy again unto the wind. And showing you that how that ministry of the Son of Man before Armageddon and the millennium, how that is in two parts. And the first part, it brought the dry bones together. It put sinew and flesh. But then there had to be a second fold of that prophecy to bring the bread into the body. And that we can understand how that is coming to pass. And if you notice something in the word that I've been preaching to you and bringing to your attention, everyone speaks of Revelation 10 because Revelation 10 ties the whole Bible together. There's nothing that is promised for this day. Whatever you start with in Genesis, it goes to Revelation 10. Amen. The masters come and call it for thee. It was Revelation 10. Bringing forth fruit unto perfection is Revelation 10. Thou must prophesy again unto the wind. The ministry of the Son of Man is Revelation 10. Can these dry bones live? See? Then I was speaking on the Day of Atonement and the Year of Jubilee and showing you that Day of Atonement and the Year of Jubilee, how when it comes together, there's a trumpet of the Jubilee in the 50th year, which is Revelation 10 again. And then also on Sunday evening, I was speaking on faith as the title deed of things hoped for, the opening of that seven seal book, which is Revelation 10 again. So all these things is tying together to reveal what is happening. And I trust you here in the local church here, you are listening to the tapes back over and studying close what I'm laying there because I'm following something in my preaching when I'm preaching to you. So don't just look for me to come down and preach and people come and say, boy, the church is going good these days. People come. I'm not working in that channel. If people come, praise God. When the words are laid down, we're going to see how much is going to stay. Amen. Because what we are trying to do is catch that bride. Dress that bride and make that bride ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so for you, for the local church, you get into what is happening and what is being taught and laid here. Because if you are not in the channel that I'm in and what I'm bringing, you wouldn't be able to follow me. And then when I'm coming to bring something further to what I preached the last time and referring back to it, if your mind is not there, then you'll be lost. You'll be staring me in the service. When you're going to steer me in the service, I'll have to find out why you're steering me in the service. So by God's grace, I'm trusting that you'd be sitting there and you'd be following and you'd be interested because I am watching something that is moving and that's why I'm trying to bring to catch that place. Because if this church could come to understand what day they're living in, and what is promised to this day. If the believers could see that, then they can come in to take their place. Then they can come under expectation for what God wants to do. Then they can see what is promised coming to pass in their own life. Then that is going to give them a personal identification with the word. Then they are going to know that they themselves are the interpretation of the word. Then that is going to give them a perfect faith. Then that is going to cause them to live an overcoming life. When they recognize they are fulfilling the word. What made Jesus master every circumstance was he was fulfilling the word. He knew he was fulfilling the word. He knew those things was the plan of God for his life. That's why he says, these things, no man can touch me because my hour is not yet come. Then he could say, now is my hour come. I'm going to go into Jerusalem and I'll be delivered in the hands of sinful men. And then when they come to hold him, he didn't try to run away. He was done before his shears, he opened up his mouth. Because he had prophesied that hour, he knew exactly what he had to go through. Whether it was pleasant and nice, preaching and healing the sick and the multitudes following him and everybody talking how great he was, or whether it was being even forsaken by his own disciples, standing alone, being rejected and despised of men and humiliated, yet he had perfect faith still because that was according to the word. And that is where the Christian finds their consolation in the fact that they see what they are going through is not by chance. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. And we have to pass certain places. And everything is not going to be pleasant. But what's going to give confidence is when you recognize that is according to the word. That is why when Jesus was saying the Son of Man will be delivered in the hands of sinful men and they're going to reject him and treat him evil and all these things. And Peter didn't like that. Peter felt, oh my, the Lord is going to suffer all that? Not if we can help it. He said, Lord, I won't let a man touch you. And he wanted to defend the word. And sometimes we don't want to see the word go through nothing. We want to defend it when anybody says anything against the word. We want to stand up and guard the word. And the word turned on and said, get thee hence, Satan. You serve the thing of man, not of God. So he was surprised because he thought, man, I stand up for you and I want to guard the word and I want to make sure nobody touch you. And then you rebuke me and tell me I'm the devil. See, sometimes good intentions, you know, is not in the will of God if you don't have a proper discernment of the word. Because he was trying to stop the Lord from going to the cross. And the Lord didn't go to the cross. How could our redemption be paid? We'd all be lost. So as sincere as he was sincerely wrong. And sometimes you don't just get moved in your emotions. You have to have a revelation of what the program of God is. And Jesus was speaking the program of God for that hour. But because Peter, he knew who the Christ was. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he didn't know what season the Christ was in. He didn't know what scripture the Christ was fulfilling. So sometimes we know the Christ. But we have to know what season the Christ is in. We have to know what scripture the Christ is fulfilling. Amen. Look in the Bible. One woman come and anoint his feet. Another one come and anoint his head. You have to know what part of the word to anoint and what season you're in. Because if you don't know what part of the word is to be anointed, you're going to anoint the wrong part of the word. If we come and try to anoint Luther part of the word tonight, it's not going to do us no good. But we have to recognize what part of the word that is coming to pass in this hour. And that is the part of the word we want to anoint by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So that's why I want you to follow, as I say, what we have been doing. Because the last two messages there on the Day of Atonement and the Year of Jubilee and Faith is the Title Deed of Things Hoped For, I begin to open up something there to try to show you, according to the revealed word, what is happening in this hour, what the opening of the seven seal book meant, what it is all about, and that you can come under expectation to know that when that book is open, friend, we are at a certain time. It means you can possess certain things. We are not to say, boy, I ain't the message and denomination false, yes, and until I come out in the message, boy, and, you know, I get baptized over, and then we live defeated. We didn't even understand the message. To come in this message and live defeated me, you haven't seen the message. In no way you could see what you see in this day and then live defeated, friend. In no way you could understand what is happening now and say you are part of it and yet don't have overcoming power. Because this is the hour. This word was sent to bring a church to perfection. This word was sent to give a bride rapture in faith to be changed and taken off the face of the earth. That's why it was sent. It was not sent to continue on another age. It was sent to show the end of all things is at hand. Amen. To show that the wrath of God is fixing to fall on the earth. But God has made a way of escape for a people to take them out. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Noah's message was showing that judgment was going to come on the earth, but God had made a way of escape to take them out. Abraham's message showed judgment was going to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah, but God had come to bring a change to Abraham and Sarah and bring the promised son on the scene. Amen. So when we are under this message, we realize there is something that's breaking. And as we see it and we fellowship with it, it can become a reality to our hearts. And I know sometimes you who might not be acquainted with the message and you come to this service, don't feel bad if you're not understanding everything in one service. You come and listen. And God is going to help you. Amen. I guarantee that. Amen. Amen. Don't feel bad. You know, sometimes, you sit there and say, I came so bad, I didn't understand half of what was being said. There's going to be something said for you. Because God wants to help you. But the thing is, what you need to know is, as you hear the word, and you can begin to perceive what is happening, what we are talking about, because we are not just coming here to talk about a little story 2,000 years ago. We are trying to uncover to you what God is doing in this hour. And if you was living in the days of Moses, and you was an Egyptian or something, and you see this man come, and he have two signs in his hand, and he's talking about deliverance, and he's talking about taking people to a promised land and these things, and you don't understand that kind of talk. See, and then afterwards you get to realize, wait, that man is a prophet. And that signs is to confirm the prophet commission. And that prophet is calling an exodus, because that is God's plan for that age. See, then you would want to go out under that message. Because you know when that prophet called them people out, judgment will strike that nation. Right. Well, you never live in that time. You're living in this time. Sorry. If you're living in the days of Jesus, and you had belonged to one of the religions of the day, maybe the Sadducees or the Pharisees, and boy, in the Sadducee church, you was taught that your church was the best church. And you was taught your church was even better than the Sadducee church. And you was taught your church, you know, the church, you know, of God, had the voice of God. And then you see maybe this man comes, some carpenter raised up there. Boy, and he's telling him, you are snakes in the grass with your father, the devil. And your church says, see that man criticizing religion? He can't be of God. See? And then you get to find out that man, when he was preaching, he was identifying himself in the Bible. And he was showing God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And showing he was that prophet who Moses had talked about was going to come. And then he began to call the people out of all them denominations. And he was living in that day. And you hear the great priest or somebody say, who followed that is lost. And then you say something in your heart, but that sounded like the truth to me. But I don't know if to follow it. I don't know if to stay in my denomination. I don't know what to do. And then you say, well, I think I'm going to follow what my heart tells me. Well, and I'm going to search the word and see if the Bible say such a thing will happen. And then you sit and begin to understand it. And you would go out like Peter and them, like James and John and all of them. They left the organization. They left them things. And they followed the word for that hour. Amen. And they was able to recognize the word in the day that they were living in. Well, it's the same with you. You didn't live in that day. If Peter and them didn't leave the denomination, they would have perished when Titus come and destroy the city. But you are living in this day. And this day is a day like that day. As it was in the beginning, so it shall be in the end. God again is calling up people out. See, he is getting them ready. And here, by the grace of God, you want to understand what God is doing in your day. Because you have something to recognize for your time. See? And when you recognize what God is doing in your day, you say, I believe that. I want to walk in that. Right. And you watch and see. He's going to make a way for you. Right. You know, Peter and them was following him and didn't understand everything he was saying either. So if you follow him tonight, that don't mean to say you're going to understand everything he's saying. One time he was talking about the Father, and Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, it suffices us. He said, so long I be with you and you don't know the Father? So don't be bothered about whether how much you understand. That don't qualify you to make nothing. The fact that he has called you. The fact that he has chosen you. Amen. The fact that he has ordained you to this thing. Hallelujah. There's something in your heart that loves him. And you want to serve him. That's the real thing right there. And because you have that kind of attitude, he's going to make the truth plain to you. Because he promised them, I have many things to say unto you and you can't bear them right now. How be it when the Spirit of truth come, he will lead you and guide you into all things. Is that right? Amen. So sometimes you don't understand everything, but he will reveal it to you because it's necessary for you to know it. Yes. Amen. Amen. And that is why, you know, today we hear the word and we look at these things. Now, as we take a little look at our message here tonight and the scripture we have read here out of the book of Ruth, you know, it's very outstanding. And you know, this book of Ruth, I'm just gonna try to do my best to help everyone tonight. And you know something I realize, I preach and I know much may go over your head if you're not familiar with the scriptures and so on. And sometimes you have things that need to be broken down. And you know, you just pull, you just believe. You say, Lord, speak to me. And if I'm trying to go over your head, he's going to make me stop. He's going to stop me and make me break it down. I believe that. If you there praying and you have a need and you say, I ain't catching that, Lord. And you watch and say, he'll stop me and make me go down into it. And then you will know God is talking to you. Because he didn't send me here to make a show of myself. He sent me here to help you. He said, and you, no man can come to the Father, draw him. So if he's drawing you to the Word, then he has a purpose for drawing you. Then he wants to speak to you. Amen. Now look, now this book of Ruth here, and you take a read in it, and you kind of read. There's only four chapters, about two pages in your Bible, but in it is one of the greatest stories in the whole Bible. That even when they was putting the books together of the Bible, because there's many, many books they could have put in the Bible, you know. It have like the Catholic Bible, for instance, have the book of Maccabees and the book of Judith and all the different things, but it's not mentioned in this King James Version of the Bible. Because when they was putting this together, they didn't see that those who was inspired. See, it might have a lot of true history, but as far as the revelation of Jesus Christ being made known, his plan for his people, God left those books out and he just put 66 books here. But this book of Ruth, it was kind of questioned, well, why, you know, is it going the book? It seems so simple. You know, it don't have no miracles in it. It didn't tell you about no great miracles happening. It didn't tell you anything about no war. It didn't tell you about no victories. It didn't tell you about no revolution, no states or nothing. And it's the story of just a little family. One family. Out of all the families of Israel and all the tribes of Israel, God take one family out of the tribe of Judah. And behind the life of this family, the mystery that God had in the back part of his mind begin to unfold. That the very things that's happening in this hour is right here in this book. I may not be able to get all of it tonight, but I my intention is to show you while we study it that from 1946 to this very hour and right down until the Jews received the message, is right inside the pages of this book. And all that we are going through tonight is in this book. And this book holds the mystery of your life, the very thing that you are praying about, the very kind of Christian you want to be, the very way you want to be married to the Lord Jesus and serve him and come into oneness with him and bring forth his life. That mystery is in this book here. Because it tells us about a Gentile who came in the harvest time, who went through certain stages, who come into oneness with the great kinsman redeemer, who became wife to him, who brought forth his very life, is telling us that story in this book. So it's something there that is very outstanding and we would like to look at it. Turn with me to another scripture as we try to lay in some background here. In the book of Ruth chapter 4, I was going to try to take this in one message tonight, but then I just felt the Holy Spirit today in studying it wanted me to take it, you know, slowly and study it with you here. And I just feel that it is going to be a great help and a great blessing to us all. Ruth chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Maybe we could read from verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Aminadab. And Aminadab begot Nathan. And Nathan begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. So this book ends with David. And the whole purpose of this book is that we might understand the ancestors of David. Because when you go to the first Samuel, it introduces David, and David was the mystery of Christ. So it shows us how David was the king, the man after God's own heart. See, and the Davidic promise that was given to him. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 1 with that. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. The book of the genealogy or the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. And Judah begot Perez. And Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begot Hezron. And Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Aminadab. And Aminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's enough there. But I wanted to take out to show you in verse 5 and 6 that Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. And you know the story about Rahab in the book of Joshua. Rahab was the one who hid the spies and sheltered them. And then Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, and said David the king. Because David, it never said, like for instance, in the genealogy, you don't get no more Saul there because it's tracing the lineage through Judah. Because Christ, the book of Matthew is presenting Christ as king, as the lion of Judah. Mark presents him as the ox, Luke presents him as a man, John presents him as the eagle. But here, as we look at this great story, this book of Ruth is placed before Samuel. Now they're going to put that book anyway. But in the history, because one of the historical books, they put it before Samuel because it ends with David and it gives the historical background of David's family when David's family entered into Palestine. So for us to get this background of the book of Ruth and what is happening inside it is going to teach us something about our position. It's going to teach us something about the value of staying in your position. Now, I want you to understand this. When you come to serve God, you don't just say, I'm a Christian, I want to serve God. No. God have a place in his economy for you to serve him. And when God thought about you, he thought about you in a particular place. And God's whole purpose is to bring you to that place where he's going to bless you, where he's going to use you, where he's going to be glorified inside of you. And you can never, ever be that blessing or come to your full potential if you don't come to that position. Because the Bible says we were chosen in Christ and predestinated unto the adoption or the placing of children by Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And there is one body but many members. So God has a special place for you in his economy. God wants to reveal himself to you either as a preacher, either as a singer, either as a housewife, either as a husband or a father or a mother or a businessman or a farmer or something, as a fisherman. He has a purpose, a way he wants to reveal himself to you. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He talked like that because he was a shepherd and he understood how God was revealing himself to him in the things he was familiar with. He saw God in shepherd and sheep and grass and water and all these things. Peter was a fisherman and he saw God tell him, come, I will make you fishers of men. And he understood how the Lord could now train him to catch men as he used to catch fish. God is teaching what you're familiar with. You don't have to be odd to be a Christian. Amen. And these are things you're going to find out, that God has a place concerning you in his body. And he wants you to come into that place. And he's not going to stop until he brings you to take that place. Because in that place, you'll show your real true potential. So, this book is going to teach us something about that placing and how detrimental it is to leave that placing. We find that already, as you read our scripture in chapter 1, how they was in that country. Then famine came, then they left. And when they left, death struck them. The judgment of God came upon them. And that's why many people tonight, they're not being blessed of God as they should be. And they can't understand why the things go on in their life. And sometimes they try to pray it out and fast it out. And all it need to do is come back to your place. But as long as you stay from your place and you don't realize why you're getting that whipping, it's because you're out of your place, why you can't prosper, because you're out of your place. When you learn to take your place and learn that God has a place for you, and learn that you have to be responsible to the place that God has placed you in, and you will not be blessed as long as you stay outside of that place, you can never prosper. Never prosper. But watch. Now, one of the things it tells us in this book is it was in the days of Judges. Now, in the book of Judges, if we're not going to read out it, but the book of Judges has about 21 chapters in it. And in those 21 chapters in it, it gives you the history of all the judges God raised up. And if you're a Bible reader, you're going to understand that the book of Judges was after the death of Joshua. After Joshua died. Joshua is the one who brought the people in the promised land. Joshua is the one who placed the tribes and says, Ephraim, this is your portion. Manasseh, this is your portion. Reuben, this is your portion. Judah, this is your portion. And every tribe had known what part of the land they were going to inherit. Well, after Joshua died, you know what happened? The Bible says men was doing what was right in their own eyes. Every man was allotting himself. Every man was doing what they want. And there was idolatry beginning to come among the people. There was lawlessness. There was war everywhere. The people were in defeat many times. And that is why God sent a famine. Now, famine and these things is not in the promise of God. When God promised, he promised you prosperity. He promised you blessing. But famine is a form of chastisement that God brings upon people when they fail to walk in God's word. And that's why many people, they can be blessed more than they are today. And they start to cheat and they start to lie to get and they start to do different things to try to get because they are discontented when they have little. And they feel then, since like I ain't getting blessed and I ain't prospering, Cathy say, all are we thief? You see, and everybody else trying to do something. But you see, that's wrong. What a person need to realize when they need to get a blessing from God, then start to obey God's word. Start to line up with God's word. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all other things shall be added unto you. Amen. But you see what happened many times. So famine in Leviticus 26. I'll just quote the scripture for you to save a little time instead of reading it. In Leviticus 26, verse 19 and 20, if you want to mark that down somewhere, you will see God had told them, when you go in that land and you fail to walk in my word and you bring other gods among you, he said, I'll shut up your rain. I'll make your heaven brass and I'll make your ground iron. No, that has happened in churches. People fail to realize that when God shut up his former rain and latter rain, then it brings famine in the church. And that's what happened. They have nothing to eat no more. So now they were scraping the barrel. Look in the days of Ahab. There's a famine, is that right? No dew nor rain. You know why? Idolatry coming among the people. Ahab went and married an unbeliever. The church got involved in politics. Exactly. And when that happens, you see, God always brings that chastisement. And spiritually, famine comes among a people. And keep your attention here to me. See, spiritually, what happens? Famine come among a people when they fail to walk in God's word. See? And the Bible says, there'll come a time there'll not be famine for natural bread and water alone, but for the hearing of the true word of God. And when famine strike the denominations, you know what happened? They're bringing a drum set. They're bringing a basketball court. They're bringing different things. Why? There's no word to feed the people. So now they're using worldly entertainment to attract them and keep them. See? They're bringing bazaar and all kinds of different things to do. Why? Because they have to find other methods to control them, to manipulate them. But watch and see where the word is. Amen. Because your rain that God promised the people to make it a land of plenty was going to be a former rain and a latter rain. And your former rain is a teaching rain, where the word is being planted, and your latter rain is to make the word live in the people. Amen. So this earth that the seed is to be planted in, and this earth that is to bring forth, you see, become barren and dry. You see, people come in church and no moisture. Boy, they can't praise God. The hand reach right here. See? Say, lift your hands. The hand reach here. See? Exactly. Why? Famine. It's dry. It's dusty. It's parched. But then watch when God, when the people repent, make their wrongs right. What did God do? God opened up the heavens and the rain started to come. And then the earth started to bring forth again. Amen. All right. So back there in the book of Ruth, we saw that they were in the land and then famine came. Now, during that time of the judges, this little family, you know, in the midst of all the lawlessness, in the midst of all the idolatries, in the midst of all the wars and different things that was going on, God's attention was focused upon a man and his wife and two sons. And God was going to unfold his mystery. Hallelujah! But let us say, for instance, the book wasn't written. The book of Ruth wasn't written. Because it's written, we can read the things concerning that family. And because we can read the things concerning that family, we can see the spiritual lesson that it teaches us about this hour. But let us say it was not written. It will still be the truth that behind these people's lives, the very mystery of God, of Christ. Amen. But how he's going to redeem the fallen inheritance? How he's going to bring in the Gentile bride? It was living out in the life of a little family. I wonder what is being lived out behind your life tonight. I wonder when you come into church with your children. What mystery your life living out? Is it reflecting something for this hour? Is it reflecting the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ? See? But look. So in that time, if you check the book of Judges, it's only one time it speaks of famine. It was back in the days of Gideon. When them three powers was united, the Midianites and them come, the children of the east, see, and they came and they gathered together and they were devouring the increase of the land. And they brought the economic depression. And so it is believed that at that time that this famine was in the land and this man was tempted because of economic hardship to migrate. But you see, sometimes good things are presented to the mind. It appeals to your reasoning. But if you are a child of God, then God's purpose for your life, you cannot just relate to things on a natural level.
And maybe it was his wife. Because she said, I went out full, but the Lord bring me back empty. Maybe she was the one. Who present the idea to the man? I'm saying that so because I believe that because Elimelech was a type of Adam, you see. He had an inheritance that he forfeited. And his inheritance fell to squatters. See? But he was going to have a man who was kinfolk to him called Boaz. And this Boaz was a great wealthy man who could redeem his lost inheritance. It's a story in the Bible telling us about the great plan of redemption. Now look. See this fella competing for some attention. You have no message. I know he's flying around here doing nothing. Amen. But look. So it had to be back in the beginning of the time of Judges. When Boaz, who married Ruth. Because you say, how are you so sure? Boaz was the son of Salmon and Rahab. Listen carefully. Catch it. When did Rahab come in the picture? Even before the conquest began. Rahab is in Joshua 2. Joshua sent 2 spies out to spy out the land. And they found Rahab. Is that right? Then this Salmon, he came and he married to Rahab. Because Rahab says, give me a sure token. Boy, she was there and she knew judgment was coming. She knew God was going to destroy Jericho. And she was a harlot, the Bible said. Is that right? And when she saw them spies coming there, she hit them. She said, I know God give you all this land. And she accepted their religion. She but forfeited her own religion. Come out of what God she had back there. And she became identified with the faith that of the Israelites who was coming to that land. And you know what happened? The Bible says that Salmon got married to Rahab. Now Salmon was a prince in the army. He was a captain in the army. And he was of the tribe of Judah. But that's what we see here because David come through that same lineage. Jesse come through that same lineage. Jesus come through that same lineage. So this Salmon, this great captain in the army, married this Gentile who displayed the token in the hour of judgment. Amen. But it's a great picture. If you can see it, is a picture showing us there's a bride, a little Gentile, who is going to display the token, who is going to come in and be married to a great captain of Judah. Amen. It's a picture of Christ. And they had when the land was divided up and Judah get the portion, that portion of Judah, the inheritance in Canaan land, if Judah had 115 families, every family got a portion. So Salmon and Rahab get a portion. He was the one who founded Bethlehem. He was the father of Bethlehem. He founded that little place down inside of there. It fell a lot, his lot. You know, it had a prophecy laying in the word later on. It says, out of Bethlehem, Judah, will come forth a governor. Because Jesus, the bread of life, was Bethlehem mean what? The house of God's bread. That little place had a significance. And here was this man and this woman coming into this portion. And they got together and they built a little home. And you know what happened? They had a baby boy and they call him Boaz. Something about him. It means in him is strength. Hallelujah. They saw something about this boy. He was going to be a great redeemer. He was going to have a Gentile wife too. just like his daddy later on. Amen. And behind these little families in that little village. Hallelujah. Let me say something. You wake up tonight and realize what I'm talking about. You in this little village down here in Cedrus. You ever study your geography? You ever look and see that, right, this water down here is called the Serpent Mount on your map? You're down in the Serpent Mount. Do you know most of the coke and all of this come through here? We didn't build all this big coast guard and put all this thing down inside of here for just for a show in this part of the country? Because it comes through them waters. The most disturbance in this nation, where the in any waters, is that waters down here. You always hear about the fishermen going down there and the problems they have. Is that right? And God raised up a little church down here. See? God in the back part of his mind. But I want you to see something. Just like when this mystery was unfolding, it was a little families in a little village. But behind the lives of those people was the very thoughts of God, was the very mystery of God in simplicity. It became the Bible afterwards. It wasn't the celebrities of the age. It wasn't in the capital in Jerusalem or Shiloh, some of them great big places. It was why little Bethlehem, least of the princes of Judah, least a little remote, obscure village. Amen. Where these great things was going to unfold. I believe that tonight. I believe God is coming here because something great is going to unfold in this community. I believe God is going to take the least, some nobodies, amen, and do something great. May not be no big, large number, but it can be powerful in spirit. Amen. A little group that could take the word, that could humble itself to the word, that could receive the word and believe it. God can have great things for your life. You may be trying to get this job or trying to wear this kind of clothes or trying to get this motor car or trying to get a better house and trying to make something of yourself, and it seems like the country getting hard and down in this village it's so remote, hardly have any kind of work or anything else, and it seems like your life doomed to failure. Maybe it might be in the natural, but spiritually, amen, yes sir, spiritually, God might have plans for you, amen, that you don't know about, and you're trying to work in the natural realm to achieve your ambitions, but your real ambition is a spiritual ambition where God will bring to pass something great in your life. Amen. Look at these little people in this little village, Bethlehem. If you read in the book of Joshua, when Judah's inheritance was given, had 115 or 113, somewhere there, towns and cities called and named as Judah's portion, and Bethlehem was not even recorded. It was so small, so insignificant, that even when they record all the towns and villages, they didn't put that one. No one, that's why the prophet said, least of the princes of Judah. Out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people. The Messiah himself, God himself, when he's going to become flesh, was going to come down the heaven. God works in simplicity, in humility, amen. God take the little things, amen, and do something great with it. Got a little place for me tonight. Ain't like the Catholic Church. Amen. But what we could sit and hear out of the Bible, we ain't here in the biggest Pentecostal church, not in the biggest Catholic church. God hidden in simplicity. Amen. Now watch. So Rahab was the mother of Boaz. Could you imagine that? This Gentile, this one who's a harlot, who was of ill fame, but something in her can make her believe the word. And she come in and brought it through her. Here she become an ancestress of Jesus Christ, of Almighty God. Little did she know in that brothel down there when she hired them 2 spies that day what her future was going to be in the economy of God and the thoughts of God. But she thought if judgment started in that city, she's the first one might die. Yet God had her to be in the lineage. Her name is recorded there. See, it was in that time, in the days of the judges, when this story about Elimelech, and we're going to get into it in the next few moments. I just want to bring something here to you, to a little background. Now, Ruth and Esther is the only 2 books in the Bible that is named after women. In the whole Bible, Ruth and Esther. And each one of them is a type of this bride. This last day bride. This bride who is between the Jews coming back in the homeland. Because Naomi going back was a type of the Jews going back in the homeland. And Naomi receiving redemption is a type of the Jews coming to receive redemption. But in that time, in between the air, and the Jews went back in the homeland, 1946 after World War II. 1948, the 6-point star David flew over Palestine after 2,500 years. Because Jesus said, the generation that see Israel become a nation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. He said, the generation that see the fig tree put forth its bud, that's Israel he's talking about, will not pass away. And 1940, it became a nation. And it was at the going back of the Jews back into the homeland. It was in that time when she was coming back, Ruth, this Gentile, amen, who was going to come in to receive full redemption, who was going to come in to be married to this Boaz. It was in that time it was taking place. And 1948, the Jews back in the homeland as a nation, and they have not yet received redemption. So somewhere from 1948 to 1994, this great mystery of what Ruth has to go through is taking place. Taking place. Somewhere in her experience there tonight, you can see what God is trying to do in your life. He wants you to be his root in this hour. Amen. He wants you to be that Gentile with Gentile faith who will believe his word. Hallelujah. Esther. Esther is put between Nehemiah and Job. Nehemiah was the Jews going back in the homeland. And Job is the resurrection. And right in between there, you have Esther. She's the last woman mentioned in the Bible, and she's the queen. Out of all the other women who tapped the bride, she's the queen. And she comes in between the Jews going back in the homeland. Because Ezra and Nehemiah was the Jews going back in the homeland after captivity to rebuild the temple and wait for Messiah. And Job speaks of the resurrection. Job had the vision of, I know my Redeemer liveth. So these 2 women in the Bible, God thinking about us, this last day bride, who'll be living in that hour between the Jews going back in the homeland and the Jews receiving redemption. Feast of the Trumpets was the Jews going back in the homeland. The Day of Atonement is the Jews recognizing the Messiah. And between that time, all these years, there's a mystery of a bride, a queen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory! Glory, amen. And if God is calling you, friend, If God is genuinely calling you, if there is something in your heart to believe the word, there is something in you connected to them there in the Bible. There is something about them that's going to unfold to you the mystery of your life. The more you fellowship with them, the more you're coming to the reality. The more you understand the plan of God. Because God who foreknew you and predestinated you, amen, laid out the pattern, laid out in a type, in a shadow, amen, that there's going to be a reality. The same way Moses was a type of Christ. The same way Joshua was a type of Christ. The same way David and Solomon was a type of Christ. And when Jesus came, he had to live out what they foreshown. It's the same way Ruth and Esther is a type of you, and you must live out what they foreshown. Amen. So you don't have to live a guessing Christianity. You can walk with the understanding. I wonder what the plan God have for my life. All you have to do is read about Ruth, and you know the plan God have for your life. All you have to do is read about Esther, and you know the plan God have for your life. That is how you see your name written in the book. Amen. Your name is represented inside of here. Glory. Now look. Trying to keep it a little simple, a little bit. You don't want to get too complicated. I know I'm going to lose some of you for trying to put us in the book of Revelation, but you see, it's Revelation 9:15. You can't miss it. Revelation 9:11-15. You can't miss it. Revelation 9 is the sixth trumpet. The Jews going back. Revelation 11:15 is a great trumpet where the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of the Lord and Christ. Yeah. And between that sixth and seventh trumpet, you have Boaz, Revelation 10:1. You have the chief reaper, Revelation 10:7. You have Ruth, Revelation 10:8-11. And Revelation 11:3-7, you have Naomi. See? They're all different. From the Feast of the Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's right there. Amen. See, I tell you, see, don't, people try to confuse and say the seven seasons are open. It's open, friend. No matter what book you take in the Bible, you see, it's speaking about this day. Not some past hour, not what is to come, but to recognize what is happening now. And to recognize behind your life something is taking place. Amen. So look, let's just try to break in. I want to pick up some things here because there are a lot of things here we can just get, you know, carried away with, but there's some real instructions and teaching and things that help us in every department of our life. So I don't just want to get too heavenly minded. I want to get down to some earthly good too. Amen. Things in the home, attitudes and these things, by God's grace. So watch. So we are establishing this as when? In the time of the judges. What time of the judges? It was right in the first part of the judges because it have to be because of the fact that Salmon and Rahab was Boaz's parents. And then Boaz got married to Ruth. So it had to be the first part of Judges when Israel had went into the land of Palestine. But what's something? That land was divided up. So Elimelech, who was the tribe of Judah, he was of Bethlehem, Judah. Elimelech was a descendant of that tribe. He was a family in that tribe, and he had a portion of inheritance. And when the economic pressure started, he figured, you see me, I hear down in Moab. They have economic prosperity. Where was Moab? Let me show you. Moab was where Balaam tried to unite the two races together. Right in the wilderness of Shittim there. Just before Jordan on the wilderness side. Is where Moab land was. And you know what they did? They crossed and they went over. They crossed back the Jordan. And they went over into the land of Moab. Now, sometimes God bring you out to the wilderness and you cross the Jordan to come into your promise, into the land of your fathers. But then a little pressure come inside of there and you cross and you go right back over from where God take you from. And the lesson that they had learned there when Balaam united them races, remember in Numbers 25, read it. 42,000 die in one day. when they went into false union with the daughters of Moab, until Phinehas had to take the javelin and kill that man, that woman in the congregation for God to stop the plague. Then Moses, God told him, go and start a war and kill all the men and women who live with, mix up the sea together, because God was trying to keep the bloodline pure, because that bloodline was to produce the Messiah. Don't you know God called you out to the organizations that through this bride the Messiah will come forth? And don't you know when we come and start going to false union in the world, God has had to come and cut that thing out? Exactly right. Because we are polluting the very bloodline, the apostolic bloodline that is to bring forth the Messiah, the Word made flesh. But what's something? And now we see how these boys went and married women of Moab. The same thing that brought a plague. They wasn't even looking back and see what happened in to all them Israelites who God had to kill for that false union. Let me tell you, when people get away from God, they will do anything. One sin led to our next. But watch something. The hand of God was heavy upon them, because the first one went was their father. A little while after, the two sons went. And then Naomi ended up in that land without husband. Is that right? She ended up without husband and she ended up without sons. The very debt that she thought would have come upon them if the famine had get too severe, and she run from it to run the next land, that debt overtake her right there and meet her in the new land where she went for prosperity. Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame when people think, don't have a little faith to trust God when things go hard. When people become so insensitive to the hand of correction and the chastisement of God upon their life to discipline them and make them a better person, to cause them to trust in God. When they try to look for the easy route and then they go there and then more trouble befall them. You're not going to run from God. You're going to run to more problems. You need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You need to repent and ask God forgiveness. Amen. And watch. We find out the husband's name was what? Elimelech. Elimelech mean, my God is king. Naomi mean pleasant or comely. So right away by naming them in this story, it begins to show to us the man from Judah. Judah standard was the lion. That's why Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. His first coming, he came to the virgin. He's like a lamb. Came to be a sacrifice. By his second coming, he's coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the great Lion of Judah, the root of David, who had prevailed to take the book. And watch, this man, when his father named him, he called him Elimelech, which means, my God is king. So it showed then that this man's life had a spiritual background. And his wife that he chose, Naomi, meant pleasant. So here was this couple married. The background of a religious life, a beautiful wife, going to settle down in the home. But when the children came, the first one was called Malon, sickness. And the second one was Chilion, wasting away. It began to show them that when the hardships begin to come in upon them, because back there, they wasn't trying to give all the children a nice name, you know. Or name of popular people. They named them by experience. They named them by what they was going through. So it showed them, for them to name him sickness, that nice, pleasant, spiritual atmosphere, the joy, the happiness in the home, something began to happen. And then the other one wasting away, Chilion. And they had these two boys, because it showed now in the home it began to get very difficult because of the famine, because of the hardships in the country. And that was only coming because in the days of Judges, men was doing what was right in their own eyes. Everybody had their own standard. Everybody's a law to themselves. And they were getting away from the word of God given by Moses the prophet, who called them out in the Exodus, and by Joshua, who placed them in the land. And then what happened? We see that this family, who because of their famine and because they were in such need, but their health was being broken down, sickness coming in, great need, and then they left their home. They failed to realize that place was just more than wood and galvanized. That place was an everlasting possession. That place was a position in the economy of God. Because them Hebrew women way back, their great-great-great-grandmothers, when she was crying in childbirth, was groaning in the pain and placing them where they were supposed to be. That prophet Moses came and told him, he said, Judah, you camp in the east. Your standard is the lion. Ephraim, you camp in the west. Your standard is the ox. Dan, you camp in the north. Your standard is the eagle. Reuben, you camp in the south. Your standard is the man. And every one of them had the sign of the birth part. Now, this is kind of a little deep here, but follow me a little bit. You see, when you're born under a certain sign. God knows what kind of personality he wanted you. God knows how he wanted you, what position he wanted you to take in his body. Like Jesus, they say, we have seen a star in the east. We have come to worship him. Where is he born, King of the Jews? Because Balaam said, a star will arise out of Jacob. God told Abraham, he says, you see it like the stars of heaven. And those stars in the heaven was given for sign and for seasons. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. And day unto day uttered speech, and night unto night it showed knowledge. It was God's first Bible. And everything that is in that Bible is represented on the earth in the spirit of man. And so when Moses the prophet was calling the people out, they couldn't just go along just camping anywhere and doing what they want. He began to set them out in their position and show them what standard they had to have as an ensign. And when Joshua was going to put them in the land, the same spirit that was on Moses came upon Joshua to place them. Because way before, Jacob blessed them 12 sons. And he put everyone in a certain place in that land. He described everyone's character. He said, Judah, you like a lion's whelp. Naphtali, you like a hind let loose. Issachar, you like an ass bowing down between two burdens. And every one of them, he placed them by the net here. That is why when you get over to the New Jerusalem, you find the foundations is the apostles. The wall is the 104,000. The gates is the 12, the patriarchs. It's all there because they had a certain position. Let me tell you this. When you die and you cross over on the next side, you are still the same person. Moses was still a prophet in the next land. Elijah was still a prophet. Samuel was still a prophet. He came back and prophesied all that. Brother Branham was still a prophet. You will still be what you are. You're going to continue the same life in another land. Not this physical life I'm talking about. That soul inside of you. That is God's thought. That word. That part of you that come predestinated unto a place and unto the adoption, unto a specific position in God's economy. Remember when the two sons of Zebedee's wife, the mother of James and John, she said, let one of my sons, once in the right hand, one in the left hand. And what did Jesus say? He said, that is for whom it is prepared. You can't get that. That is already given to somebody already. And when they found their position, it wasn't. They wanted to be by the throne. But when they found their position, it was in the wall. Because the 12 foundations was the 12 apostles. Yeah, yeah. In the wall. See, it's a deep thing there. But I say to show you that your life, that eternal life, if you have eternal life in you, if you have eternal life in you, and many as were ordained to eternal life believed. If you have eternal life in you, something making you believe the word of God, something drawing you to the word of God, that eternal life in you is only one form of eternal life, that is God's own life. That never had no beginning, that always was and always will be. But this man here, when he was given his portion, he wasn't relating to it no more in a spiritual way. So he felt, well, I bound to be in this position all the time. If a little famine come, I could change my position and go over somewhere else. If I get in trouble in this position here. So he here down, if I cross back over the Jordan, get back over down in Moab, down there plenty of food. He didn't even go where the 2.5 tribes was. Moab. Get it? Some of you went back in denomination, understand what I'm talking about? Moab came from Lot. Moab had the same religion Israel had. Same religion Israel had, Moab had. Balaam bring him 7 altars just like Moses had. Fundamental and everything else. Lot and Abraham had believed in the same God. But when Lot didn't walk in the world like Abraham walking, then Lot went and committed incest with his daughters. The drunken man commit incest, is that right? Yeah. And the first boy come forth was Moab. Yeah. And out him come forth the Moabites. They come through the wrong channel. If it come through Mistress Lot, it'll be all right. But she had already eaten the pillar of salt. You see, friends, them things not put in the Bible just for little stories. Everything means something. And that's why when you watch the word, I'm trying to tell you that God have a place for your life. God have a purpose for your life. And this man had come into his place, was living in his place, his position, and a little hardship comes. And his first thought is, maybe I can move away to a place where there's some prosperity. Because his mind was just on prosperity. His mind was just on a little more financial blessing, a little better clothes. We can't eat as we used to eat. We come down, you know, right now I still wearing the old shoes. I demand to wear a shoe that long. So maybe I have about 3 pair of shoes already. So let me go over to maintain my status. Not knowing he was getting out of the will of God, he was going straight to his death when he was doing that. He was going straight, he was taking his sons straight to the death as well. He was going to leave his wife, a widow, and childless by that decision. And he didn't even realize that that laid in store for him by the decision he had made right there. When you come onto your God-given place, friend, that is revealed to you by the word. Show your place. Your wife and God put you in a place. Your husband God put you in a place. Your father God put you in a place. Your mother God put you in a place. And you try to come out of that place. Let me tell you. You're going to die spiritually.
Exactly.
You will not prosper. It'll be difficult. The hand of God will come down heavy. And if you're not sensitive, why there is chastisement, you wouldn't know that you're out of the will of God. If you see it as nothing. Learn the ways of God from his word. That's why all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof. Is that right? Amen. That the man of God be totally furnished unto all good works, being made perfect. Amen. Let me try to finish up. The time just disappears. Now watch what's happening. So God in the life of this little family was showing how in this simple family his great mystery of redemption. Because Elimelech, when he was given that portion of land, like I was pushing to you a couple services ago, every one of them in their inheritance represented Adam. And he represented Adam in his portion. And you know what happened? When he forfeited his inheritance by healing to his wife's reasoning, it fell. And then he died and his children started to die. Amen. And the inheritance was left to squatters. But we find out something.
It was at the harvest time that God had begun to send rain back among the people. Bread was in the land again. And Naomi heard that God had visited the people with bread. And when she realized she was down in that condition, and the last 10 years was misery. Her was 10. Yours might be less than 10. Or yours might even be more than 10. Make it come to an end tonight. Amen. If you could hear God's voice tonight, amen, you can come back to the promised world. You can come back to the land of blessing. You can come back to your position. You can come back to the will of God. You can come back to receive redemption in this hour. Amen. Come right in a time to receive the blessing of God, in a time of plenty. Glory. My, it thrills my soul to think about it. She was coming in the harvest time. Get some imagination now before I close. Now, in the harvest time, the fields was white. Get the picture. Amen. You're seeing people everywhere with sickles in their hands. The reapers was in the field. It wasn't a dull time. It was a time of activity. Amen. They was out there reaping the field, reaping the golden grain. The sun was in its full strength. Amen. The great Boaz, the Lord of the harvest, was mingling with his reapers in the field, talking to them and instructing them, amen, how to reap the field. Hallelujah. It was a great time. Naomi, the Jews, was coming back, amen, on a little Gentile route. But she was going to come in to receive redemption in that hour. Amen. It's a great picture, friend. Oh, it's a great drama. Amen. When we think of the age we're living in, when we think of the reality, amen. No wonder sometimes people live defeated. Because they read the Bible, it's just dry. But when you can break into the realm of the word, when you can catch the inspiration, when you can see that every jot and tittle is inspired, is said a certain way, is laid out a certain way, that we might understand the day that we are living in. Glory. The oxen was yoked, and there was a threshing floor, treading the corn. You know the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that tread the corn? Amen. The winnowers had their fan in their hand, purging the floor. It was harvest time. Glory. The chaff was being scattered everywhere, and the grain was being garnered together. Get a picture of what harvest time means. You see, if you don't understand you're living in the harvest time, then you look around and see reapers in the field with a sickle, and you don't even know that that's reapers with a sickle. You will see the word in its full strength, and you don't understand why the word's so strong. Amen. You will see the Lord of the harvest in the field, and you won't even understand that Boaz is supposed to be here now among the reapers in that hour. You'll wonder where God is, where God is. Look where Boaz was in the field with the reapers. Amen. Break into it and see the reality, friend. It's something that's happening in this hour. You wonder why people drive out from Maloney to come down here Wednesday night, Sunday night. Why? They have nothing else to do. Look at the price of gasoline. They have a church they go to as well. Amen. Why? It's something. There's something happening. There's something that excites them. There's something that stimulates them. There's something made real to them. Amen. There's something that they understand is happening according to the Bible in this hour. There's something that gives them faith when they see it. Oh my. Something to live for. Something to rise up and face the challenge of this hour. Something not to be scared, but something to lift your expectations, knowing that this is the hour for redemption. Amen. Glory. All these great, and the gleaners was there too. And Ruth, this great character. This character that was going to attract the Lord of the harvest. So much a gleaners in the field by his eyes fell upon her. What she's doing here? Who is she? I never noticed her here before. He said, my Lord, She came back with Naomi. Her sister, we understand, went back. But she made a clean-cut decision. She said, where thou goest will I go? Your people shall be my people. So I want that kind of God all they're talking about. But when she heard Naomi speak, you see there, watch the influence, catch it. Watch in a little story, watch the influence of Naomi. Something about Naomi, the way she care about herself, her grace, her poise, her respect, her virtue. Root and then begin to see something. There's a pleasantness about her as her name characterized her character. Yes. Amen. And they look, they say, you know, today you never see so much a problem between daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws. Is that right? But the mothers has warned their children about mother-in-law, and they're warning this and they're warning that, and they're afraid and this and the other. But watching the Bible in the harvest time. Watching the Bible in the harvest time. What the type of the bride here? Amen. Amen. What the character? But they were willing to leave home, leave mother house, leave father house. They wasn't even wanting to go back to follow this woman. Not because of her flesh, of the God she was talking about. Hallelujah! Of the revelation she was talking about. What attracts you tonight? Some model out in the street? What attracts you? Some person out in the TV living with a 4 or 5 husband? Some woman stripping herself in all kind of ridiculous condition there before camera to get a little popularity? Oh, something with character. Something with virtue. Amen! Something with grace and charm. Something clean and holy. What is attracting you tonight? To be some little sex symbol or something? You feel happy when somebody calls a sexy person in the street? Or you want to care about yourself with the dignity as a daughter of God? Amen! Amen. Who know what real womanhood is? Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Who know the kind of woman God made to begin with? Oh, your mind blown with all this young and restless and all this Hollywood business that perverting these women into all kind of idiots and sex symbols and make them a bunch of filth. Amen. But Ruth, brother, she had given them Hollywood gods. She had given them sports gods. She had given all them carnival gods. Hallelujah. Because she saw something in Naomi. Amen. Say, your God will be my God, Naomi. Your people will be my people. I ain't mind to dress like them and act like them and walk from the Bible and go to church. Where you go, I will go. If you're going to travel all the way to Abel country, I'll go. Hallelujah. If you're going to go all the way down to sea, just I will go with you. Where thou goest will I go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die will I die. Amen. I ain't care if I die outside my homeland. I ain't care if I got a pauper funeral. Where you die will I die. Hallelujah, where you are buried will I be buried. Entreat me not to leave thee. And the Bible says, when she saw, she was steadfastly minded not to go. Amen. She stopped speaking to her. She couldn't change her mind. She made a decision. She wasn't just coming along. She heard it. She recognized it was the truth. And she went to acting upon it. Oh, she wasn't just sympathizing with it and say, I like it. I like how they preach. I like how they sing. I like how they song. It's more than that tonight. Where thou goest will I go? Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die will I die. And where you buried will I be buried. Hallelujah. It was something real. Amen. She made a clean-cut decision. You watch the bride, Rebecca. When Rebecca heard the voice of the messenger, when he announced his mission, how he was sent with a message to catch a bride. The mother and the brother said, will you go? She said, I will go. No uncertainty, I will go. I believe it. I believe it. When Elijah waved the mantle over Elisha, amen. He said, the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. When Peter and them saw Jesus, they forsook all to follow him. They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They wasn't just playing church. They conked the course. But look at Orpha. Orpha was crying. Boo. Oh, she was crying. Oh, she was crying. She was crying. Some people just get emotional, that's all, and then go back. Amen. She said, go back to your gods. Go back to your husband's house. Go back to your mother's house. Find rest. Look at Naomi. Naomi was unselfish. Naomi tried to use her influence and tried to get them to feel sorry for her. How come you can have myself? I'll do it with me all these years. You mean to say you can leave me now? We can do it with me. At least only come and go with me a little bit. You'll come back and spend vacation now and then. She was unselfish. Amen. She knew she was out to the will of God. She said, God hath afflicted me. She said, don't call me pleasant no more now. Me call me Mara, I mean bitter. Amen. I'm of a sorrowful spirit. I realize we done wrong. We went out there after the natural things. Amen. We failed. God's hand was heavy upon us. Amen. God chastised us. But coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thy hands of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years, but now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Now I'm coming home. Oh, my, her experience there. She was coming home. She wanted that reality. She wanted that reality. Amen. What you want tonight? A little churchianity, a little nice service, a little excitement in your flesh to jump and holler and shout a little bit? Or you want a reality? Amen. Hallelujah. Something will change your life tonight. Something will let you know God love you. God care for you. God what is true? Amen. You don't have to live but in the dunghill, eating all the beggarly elements of the world, trying to find joy in that. God has sent real joy for you. God has sent real peace to you. God has sent real love to you tonight. Oh, my, could you receive it tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. She was coming back. And when Naomi realized she can't change this girl mind, she said, look, offer, go on back. Do like your sister. Look, your sister, go back. Because sometimes people need a lot of encouragement.
You go up to, if they call you altar call, you go up to get it. You hold back. You stand right by my side.
You ever notice how when the word is being preached, you enjoy it? It stimulates your faith. But when time comes, say, raise your hand, make a decision. Something funny has passed through you. Right there. Something funny has passed. And right there, you feel shame. You feel embarrassed. Your mind is getting knocked up. That's the devil right there stopping you from going on further. Amen. Devil right there. You know why? He's watching you when you're hearing that word. He's watching what that word is doing to you inside. He knows you're hungry and thirsty for that word. But to make the decision, he don't mind you listening and just rejoicing and so on. But when time to make the decision, he steps right and say, you going up there? You getting carried away that? You need to laugh at you. Then you can live that life. Them people are making jokes. Them rarely mean business, you know. This is no halfway church, you know. And then right there, you go through all in your mind and you feel funny. And then you get miserable outside. Say, my goodness, God, I fail you, Lord. Let me tell you, friend, it's a reality. Let me tell you, friends, I ain't drop out of the sky. God, take me out of the cesspit in the world. Maybe the sin I live in, it might be more than you all put together here. I know the reality of God. I know the grace of Almighty God. I know when he reached out his hand for me. I know where he raised me out of that pit. Amen. I know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes a man clean. And the Holy Spirit, amen, that gives him a new desire. Make him live different. Make him act different. And that is real tonight. That is real tonight. Let me tell you, you ought to be ashamed and try to pretend and play this out here. And when you come and try to play something else, no. You could be what you are anyway. Because you know you're genuine from your heart. You ain't no masquerade, pretending and playing and different things. No, sir. You know you're real. You want something real. Amen. Glory be to God. You might feel convicted tonight, but that's a good thing. If you can feel convicted when you hear the word, that is a sign that God can deal with you. If there's something in your heart saying he can say what he wants, let me tell you something, you're in a bad shape. But when you can receive that word, friend, it means a lot to you. It means God can do something for you by God's grace. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We lift our hands to you, oh God, and we say thank you, Jesus, tonight for your grace and for your love and for your mercy and for what you are doing among this people, oh God. A people despised, a people rejected, a people, oh God, of a low estate, Father, but yet you have come down amongst them, oh God. You have come down to deliver them, oh God. Lord, we feel like it was back in Egypt when you said, let my people go. Hallelujah! You have come here, I've heard the cries of my people, oh God. Lord, you've come to break the chains of bondage from around the lives. You've come to set them free, oh God. You've come to lift them up into such a place where, dear God, you can make a new creation out of them. Oh God, we thank you tonight, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. All glory and honor and praise be unto you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, I know God is here tonight. God's word has been spoken. I try to keep it simple. I left out so much. I just try to speak to you as I feel led by the Holy Spirit to let you see there's a reality in God's word. I just was studying today and felt the Holy Spirit tell me, just take this book of Ruth and just begin to speak. Just bring it down to an individual level with the people and just minister to them. Because God knows what he's doing in your heart. You know what he wants to do for you. You know how he's dealing with you. I don't know. I just come and yield myself to him and try to speak as he would lead me here in the pulpit. But if you sit there and you feel he's speaking to you, then you know I don't know you. You know I don't know nothing about you. But the word knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and he knows just where you need strength. He knows what you're hungering and thirsting for. There's nothing wrong to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh my God, wants to fill. God wants to pour out his goodness. God wants to give you more than you could even desire tonight. Don't even think about being worthy. You will never be worthy of it. It's just God's grace giving it to you. Unworthy as we are, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It's because he loved us. Herein is the love of God. Not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us and gave himself to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't let the devil rob you tonight. Don't let him hinder you tonight. Receive it tonight. Be persuaded in your heart. Don't be like Arthur. Arthur was like the rich young ruler. He came to the right person. He said, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? He asked the right question. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. Just to see where, show him where his own heart was. He got the right answer. Could you imagine that? Came to the right person, asked the right question, got the right answer. But he made the wrong decision. He made the wrong decision. Look what Ruth came to. Do you think Ruth knows she's coming to be an ancestress of Almighty God? Do you think she knows she's going to come in to receive redemption and become heir, joint heirs of a great inheritance? Do you think she knew those things? She didn't make it for that. She didn't make her decision for that. But because something in her heart wanted truth, wanted reality, she saw something in Naomi's life. She was influenced by one who was influenced with the influence of God. Would you be influenced tonight by the influence of the Holy Spirit? Would you be influenced by God tonight? If you wouldn't be influenced by God tonight, the devil sure would influence you. Choose this day whom you'll serve. Why halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve God. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have two masters. Either you will serve one and hate the other. But tonight, don't make the mistake that Orpha made. Make the decision that Ruth made. Walk into a great promise, friend. Walk into a great blessing tonight. See the mystery of God unfold in your life. See that great reality that God wants to give to you. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, If you want to slip that hand up and say, Lord, remember me. I believe it tonight. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know the power of God into salvation. God bless you, faith. God bless you all, faith. Almighty God. Under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit here tonight, sitting in your great presence, opening the Bible and reading out of a portion of scripture that speaks of this very hour, that reveals the will and purpose of God behind our lives. Sitting here in this humble little place, way down in this corner of the island. As I said, Lord, this little place situated in the waters, let's call it Serpent's Mouth. Evil place, Lord. But yet you have such a little group of people here hungering and thirsting for that righteousness, Lord. And God, you knew it. You put them here and you remembered them. You've come for them, Father. Oh, God, for such a time as this. While everything was looking so bleak and dismal, oh, God, and their heart was aching and they was drifting around in the world, trying, back in the organization everywhere, lukewarm at home, confused and everything else, trying, oh, God, to pacify themselves, some trying to satisfy that holy thirst with the things of the world. But then Jesus came and begin to bid their darkness flee. Oh, God, in the darkest hour. Then Jesus came. You come, Lord, when you know they had need of you, Father. You come, Lord, and begin to make yourself known through your word. To let them know you never forgot them, you loved them, and you cared for them, oh, God. Oh, God, tonight they're responding, Father. I pray as you see those hearts, Lord. And where those hands raised, showing in those hearts, there's a hunger. There's a desire for that truth, for that reality, oh God. Take these words, Lord. Plant them deep down the inside. Let the Holy Spirit seal them up, Lord. May, oh God, Father, that word so sharper than a two-edged sword circumcise their hearts and their ears. Oh, God, cut them loose from every evil influence of the world, every subtlety, every deceit, from the pleasures of this life, from the former godliness, from the worldliness, Lord, from the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, from the web of the devil that is trying to entangle many of them in, oh, God. May you break the evil powers of the enemy around their lives. Cause them, dear God, tonight, to find that place of refuge. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower that the righteous run into and is safe. Your servant standing here tonight, feeling your divine presence and seeing these people raising their hands, Father, I charge that devil in the name of Jesus Christ to leave these people, because he has been exposed by the word of God tonight. And Lord, they have shown a positive response to draw nigh unto you. And you said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Oh, God, may the Holy Spirit receive them tonight, Father. Overshadow them with your grace and your glory. Surround them with your presence, Lord. May every darkness leave them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Every evil power be broken. Oh, God, may you grant it, Father. I pray where the devil have tried to break up homes, break up families, try to bring confusion, disrespect among husbands and wives, among children and their parents. Oh, God, among neighbors. We're trying to bring enmity, Lord, and discord and resentment. I rebuke these things tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. It have tried to overpower your people, Lord. But tonight, Father, your people have shown they want to be influenced by the influence of the Holy Spirit. They want to come into the word, Lord, as they hear it pulling upon their hearts. Lord, they want to draw close to you. Oh, precious Jesus, tonight. May, dear God, your Spirit touch them. Touch them and make them whole, Father. Break every shackle. Loose them from every heavy burden tonight. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take everyone out of the cells, the prison houses, out of the evil influences, out of the chains tonight. May the Spirit of God come to lead them into this truth. Give them the courage, oh God. Give them the humility. Give them the depths of sincerity, Lord. Let them know, Lord God, they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. May they disbelieve that lie of the devil and obey the truth tonight. Lord, like Ruth, may they all in their hearts make that clean-cut decision, where thou goest will I go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die will I die. Where you buried will I be buried. Oh God, as they are persuaded of your presence, as they are persuaded of your truth, as they stand here under this august presence, under this anointing of the Word and the Holy Spirit tonight, may be anchored into their hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your grace, Father. May as they read this book of Ruth, the Spirit of God so break the Word and make yourself known unto them. Reveal it. Make them familiar. Let the insight teacher, the Holy Spirit, teach them, oh God. Lord, I pray when we come back on Sunday evening, oh God, there'll be such a divine presence with the people praying and under anticipations. May their hearts be filled with your joy and your gladness. May you turn their water into wine, Father. May you give them joy unspeakable and full of glory. Grant it, Lord. And Father, as we leave this place, may your great presence go with us. Watch over us, dear God. Keep us in this fellowship with you, Lord. God, may we find time to pray. Oh, God, may your Spirit trouble our hearts, trouble our souls. Let it lead us aside. Oh, God, we can have communion, we can have fellowship with you, oh, God. Lord, may you grant it tonight. May they tell somebody about your love. May they tell somebody about what you're doing, Father. May like Philip, oh God, when he went and found Nathaniel, when Andrew went and found Peter, oh God, when the mother well went and called the others, when Rahab went and get a household, oh God, may it be like that, Lord. Granted, Lord, in this great thing that you do in this community, we'll just get greater and greater and greater. Granted, Lord. We thank you for being here tonight. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for all the great riches of grace and mercy that have been distributed to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word tonight. We feel richer, Lord. We feel we leave in this place richer tonight. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Why don't we lift our hands and tell him thanks? Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you. We just want to be sure of gratitude, oh God. We just want to express our appreciation to you, Lord. Lord, because you remembered us, oh God, blessed be your wonderful name. You come down here to a low people like us, Lord. Oh, we exalt you, oh God. We give praise and glory and honor unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Let's just sing that tonight. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. the joys that floods my soul. Something happened, and now sing it with appreciation tonight. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, he cares for you tonight. God love you. Friend, the greatest joy you can have. This is not to laugh at children. Have respect in the house of God tonight. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Come, my brother.
Have our seats as we sing it. Into my heart, into my. We all dismiss it this time. Amen. Sunday service at 5:30 p.m. Try and come in early. Expect it from the Lord. Amen. Come in to my. Lord Jesus. to my house, Lord Jesus. Amen. He's so good. He's so good to us tonight. Amen. Amen. We truly thank him. Amen. And don't forget service at Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Amen. God is so good. Let us sing it. We are just dismissed. Amen. God is so good. God.